Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 5, Texts 16 and 17. Chapter 5 is entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. The context is Narada is visiting the ashram of Vyasadeva just after Vyasadeva has completed all of the Vedic literature, having compiled it, and now it's done, and he's assessing how did it come out, and he's bewildered because he's feeling not satisfied. So Narada appears just at that moment, and there's some dialogue about what it might be. He hints in the beginning of the chapter that he's placed the subject matter of self-realization that's focused upon the body and the body and the mind, because the word atma can mean body, mind, and soul. So you've dealt with the body, you dealt with the mind. My dear son of Parashara Muni, are you satisfied when presenting the topic of self-realization in relation only to the body and the mind? That's the hint. And then he goes on to describe Vyasa's great achievements. What you've written is wonderful. What you have not presented something wrong. Is that someone knocking the door? The understandings that you've presented are quite nice, and you've fulfilled your vows, and you've done your worship, and you've, you know, your achar is fine too. So, my dear Prabhu, what's wrong? And Vyasa says, well, I don't know. I bet you know, because you're in touch with Super Soul. You're up there. You're the son of Lord Rama, who heard the whole thing directly from the Supreme Lord himself. And you heard from Rama, so you must know. So then he gives his explanation. Too much emphasis on placating the desires of the body, and you mix that with the ultimate goal. So people think that's it. People already have strong material desires, and because you placed a blend of fulfilling material desires with somewhere in there is some kind of elevation, people think that's it. Fulfill material desires. Just do it religiously, and that's it. There's nothing more than that. So, Narada said to Vyasa, it's like putting a boat on the water and having a big wind come. What happens to the boat? Big waves when there's big wind, and when there's big waves and the boat's in the middle of water, Oh, very troublesome. And so, similarly, the mind that is attracted to material enjoyments, and you send these winds of, oh, go ahead and do material enjoyment, the mind becomes bewildered, and the real purpose, the self as the soul, becomes lost. So he speaks pretty strongly. He says, this is verily condemned. It's quite unreasonable. Because people are guided by you, they'll do what you say. If you say this is okay, so now the indication has been given. You perform this act of meditation where you just absorb your mind completely in the personality of Godhead. Place the mind again and again and again in the topics. You can do it, Vyas, because you have this qualification. This is tying into this morning's verse. Here's the qualification that Narada says Vyas has, or for one to be a writer of transcendental literature, one has to have Mogadrik. One can see, literally, one can see the truth. The perfect seer. Completely perfect. Which becomes possible by these other qualities that he has. He's fixed in his vows. He is situated in truth. And he has compassion. Dridha Vrata. He's translated here as Dridha Vrata, means great determination, unwavering determination. But one who can see the truth and doesn't deviate from vows, they're in touch with some higher reality, and then they're naturally very determined to live by that higher reality and communicate that message to others. So Vyas, you have this capacity, therefore you should meditate in this way, and then describe the personality of Godhead only, no mixing, Vyas. So that's the context. Now, 16 and 17 are again, it's Vyas, Narada's describing Vyasa's spiritual qualification. And with that spiritual qualification, he's then giving the directive. His spiritual qualification is saying that only a very expert personality who has retired from activities of material happiness deserves to understand this knowledge of spiritual values. So, Vyas, you can do it. It's like the coach telling his lead player, you can do it. You have this qualification. You're expert. You have no attraction, no involvement, no attachment for material activities. You yourself are in that position. Therefore, you can understand. Now, this is where, what's the next part of the verse that follows, is where the Vedic formulas of Karmakanda and Gyanakanda are different from the path that's followed by Bhagavat Mark. But you see, people don't have that capacity. So what you've done is you've made this blend of, okay, you can't surrender to Krishna, so how about you just do some elevating activities, and because of accepting the authority of the Vedas, it will elevate you to the quality of goodness, and then eventually you can surrender to Krishna. The indirect approach. That's what Vyasa has done through Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. As mentioned, is made previously also about knowledge of the Absolute. Vyasa, Narada said to Vyasa, you have realization of the Absolute Truth. Why are you dissatisfied? Because knowledge of Brahman alone does not give satisfaction in terms of one's relationship with the Supreme. There's where real satisfaction comes when the Supreme is satisfied, and because we're part and parcel of the Supreme, then we feel satisfaction through the consciousness of serving and satisfying the Supreme. You're not feeling satisfaction even you have perfect knowledge of fruitive activities and perfect knowledge of impersonal Brahman. So you have this capacity. Now in this verse, you have this capacity. Ordinary people don't. So here's what to do. In the context of pastimes and qualities, message of the personality of Godhead, describe the personality of Godhead. Ordinary people can't understand, but you have the qualification to present it in such a way, because the Lord is non-different than his pastimes and his form, his qualities. Describing them will purify. Just make the direct presentation and it will purify those persons that don't have the qualification that you have. Because you have the qualification you've presented, and they'll become purified. So it's two different approaches. And Vyasa is not satisfied by the other approach. Narada reasons, if you're not satisfied, what to speak of the reader of your literature? And I'm your spiritual master and I'm condemning what you did. I'm not satisfied. And Krishna's not satisfied. So here's the other approach. Recognizing the condition of the general audience in Kali Yuga, doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the sense control, doesn't have the temperament, doesn't have the patience, doesn't have the necessary qualification to fix their mind upon. So the personality of God, of the Absolute Truth, they need purification. So take the Supreme Pure, present the Supreme Pure, and they'll become purified. That's the formula. Therefore, those who are not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the ways of transcendental realization by your goodness through descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. Oh, here's Prabhupada's saying the same thing in the purport. Sri Vyasadeva is therefore advised by Narada to describe the science of God directly by relating his transcendental activities. And what's Vyasadeva's qualification for doing that? Like, you know, what should our qualification be for presenting these things on his behalf in the line of Vyasa? Because Prabhupada has used that language here, the line of Vyasa. Line of Vyasa means someone who speaks. So there should be some strong material detachment. Vyasadeva is a householder, so the propensity for enjoying, even though he's a householder, is not Vyasa. Vyasadeva is himself a personality expert in this science. and he is unattached to material enjoyment. Very expert in the science. He's theoretically and practically understood the science. He's learned it, and then he lives it. And there's not some, and oh, by the way, on the side, there's some sense enjoyment. That's not Vyas. The rest of the purport, Prabhupada uses this metaphor of a physician. Vyas is a spiritual physician. He's diagnosing the patient. The patient has a disease. What's the nature of the disease? Absorption in matter. And we need some medicine. So medicine is, since Vyasa's gift is a literary person, his gift is to compose literature, that describe the activities of the Lord in such a way they're attractive even to ordinary people, and those ordinary people then become purified because the subject is the supreme pure. Gradually he becomes purified from material diseases. Then Prabhupada speaks about how a follower of Vyas takes up the same activity. He describes that the expert followers of Vyas can also discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Like, so how do we take this glorification of the Supreme Lord directly into, you know, the convoluted circumstances of materialistic life in modern times? Just take the same principle and apply it in novel ways. And Prabhupada's point is devotional service is dynamic, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject into the dull brains of the materialistic population. So that's like, you know, creative preaching. How to take the principle, apply it according to time and circumstance. Then, conclusion. Such transcendental activities of the devotees, he's really honoring the Prabhupada is describing here that presenting Krishna consciousness, the Lord's activities are transcendental. One who presents the Lord's transcendental activities is a transcendental activity. And such transcendental activities of the devotees for the service of the transcendental Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of materialistic men. So devotees can be change agents for the world. Bring about a new world order. That's like, it has its connotations, its new world order. But that's what he's written here. Yes, this is a new order of life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same during his time. His method was congregational chanting. People had never seen that before. Like many people who come to our temples, Western people and Indian people, like South Indian people come to our temples and see the dancing and chanting. We've never seen that before. But then, you know, nice. And drawn into the kirtan and chant the holy names of the Lord. The just an example of that is at the Tirupati temple opening, the chief priest of the Tirupati temple came because they have a relationship with the priests. He came the first of 3 days, basically just graced the event by his presence and give his blessings. He stayed almost the full day, came back the second day, and came back the third day. And the third day was the conclusion of the deity installation, and he made his statewide broadcast statement. It was on television, not national, but within the state, that so he didn't have to say what he said. He said, because he was very moved, that we do many things, but we can't change to bring about what these ISKCON devotees are doing. Their kirtan is just transforming. To see people from all parts of the world, from all languages and all cultures, coming together and chanting and dancing in such ecstasy for days. That we need to learn from these people how they're doing. We're not able to do this. All walks and types of people were captured by Lord Chaitanya. But then even to get people to the point where they'll come to the temple and join, see the kirtan and ask, what's that? There are some novel and creative ways to accomplish that. So, by following the same method as Lord Chaitanya did, one can bring the materialistic men of this age of quarrel into order. From disorder to order, for peaceful life and transcendental realization. So, presenting the message of the transcendent Lord can change the hearts of men. And when devotees make that presentation broadly, according to time and circumstance, it can change the direction of society. This was with this spiritual economics. This was the topic that came up in Illinois, University of Illinois. An older fellow said, while it's nice that you have communities of individuals that huddle around this nice set of practices and teachings, and they're getting some relief, what about changing the direction of society? It's a task. I mean, to say it is one thing, to do it is another thing. How do you change the direction of the Ganges River? Put out your hand and redirect it. But the Bhagavatam is speaking in this kind of language. That the potency is there, the principle is there, and certainly it's not a one-man task. But nonetheless, here's what Prabhupada said on maybe 25 occasions. The whole of the population need not take up Krishna consciousness, but if 10% of the population, or 5% of the population, we would speak like that, 10%, even 5%, take up Krishna consciousness, the whole society can change. It's on the principle of Yajirachirati Shrestas, because a devotee of the Lord is in this position of Shrestha. As far as evolution of consciousness, their occupation may be a simple occupation, but they're in the category of the best as far as evolving of consciousness is concerned. And so those persons can set a very, very nice example, devotees of the Lord. And through that example, it can change the direction the society is moving in. Although the forces are very, very powerful. Materialistic force, they've got control. They have control of the government, they have control of commerce, they have control of the media, they have control of education. They got, the purse strings and the brain strings of the society, the materialistic people. So their machinery is very strong. So to make this change effective, there has to be some thoughtful persons out there, somebody that has a light on in there somewhere, and you can, get the message through. They can hear the message. That's required. And purity on the part of the devotee making the presentation, because purity is the force. So one has to be living the life of devotion, walking the talk, carrying the message by quality, not just by words, to be effective change agents. And have faith in the process, have faith in Krishna and the message, the potency of the message of Krishna. Then there can be some transformation. Then text 17 is a very important and often quoted verse in the out of all the verses of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada would quote this many times. Chaktva svadharmam charanam bhojam harir bhajan apakvo ta patet tato yadi yatra kva bha badram abhuda mushakim Kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmata. It was two things. It was Prabhupada's answer to making his presentation to a Western audience that he knew they would not necessarily have the determination to continue, but they could at least start, make some spiritual progress, become again overwhelmed by their material desires, desist with that spiritual activity, and resume their materialistic life. He knew, he explicitly told us while he was lecturing, some of you are not going to be here tomorrow, after some time. You're here engaging, that's nice. There's no loss if after some time it's not continued. Not like he was encouraging that, but it was an understanding that he was planting a seed, and some of those seeds would grow and become mature plants. Some of the seeds would not; they just grow a little bit, just a little bit. And not continue, but the spiritual growth would continue permanently. And this verse is saying, one who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So, another way that Prabhupada was applying this verse, besides giving people a chance, it was an answer to the challenge that people will say, "What, Swamiji, you're spoiling Vedic culture. You're giving this, you know, very high thing to very unqualified people. And then what are the unqualified people going to do with this very high thing? They're going to make a mess of it. You know, it's really meant for very qualified people. And you're presenting it before unqualified people. You're spoiling the whole Vedic system." Brahmanas should learn this, not these Lechayabana people. Why are you doing this? You're initiating, giving brahminical initiation to these Swamiji. So this verse expresses the qualification that comes to one. Here's who takes this opportunity. Prabhupada writes, so there's in our Vedic, even within the Vedic literature, there's a Jamila, there's King Chitraketu. King Chitraketu became very elevated, but apparently offended Lord Shiva, and so he became Vritrasura. But he, even when he became Vritrasura, his Uttama Adhikari consciousness wasn't lost. And he gives other examples. Bharat Maharaj. He was a great king. He became attached to a deer, died thinking of the deer, became a deer. But then, by dint of his great practice as Bharat Maharaj, and he became Judd Bharat, correctly from a deer to Judd Bharat, and then fixed in consciousness. So that consciousness was not lost, although the material circumstances appeared to be unfortunate. And that's the message that Prabhupada is presenting. That the verse that Narada is presenting to Vyas. Don't worry, Vyas. Your audience, your understanding, your audience doesn't have grand qualification. So your idea is gradual, lifetimes of gradual elevation. In Kali Yuga, people are not going to follow that because they're too much attached to the material involvement. They'll just stay in the material involvement position. Let's go this other path. This other path is glorify the personality of God and bring purification. If you're concerned they may fall because they don't have the support to sustain that, it may happen. But that will, the spiritual benefit will stay with them. On the other hand, if they don't have that spiritual component and there's this, you know, gradual elevation thing, they've really gained nothing from a spiritual perspective. It's like, okay, we want to have a fire and we have all this wet wood, so let's make the wet wood dry wood, but you never start the fire. What's gained? Nothing's gained. You have some dry wood. But we want a fire. So stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there's a chance of falling down, because even if one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. And we see this. Like people, I see it, people that, you know, I was associating, this happened not so long ago, was it LaGuardia Airport, and I was riding one of those shuttle buses between one terminal and another terminal, and one of those airport employee guys, and because I was dressed as a devotee, and he came right up to me and, "Hari Bol!" I said, "Hari Bol!" And he said, "I'm from Santo Domingo, and I used to go to the temple on Santo Domingo, and I love the kirtan, and love the prasadam, love the devotees." I said, "Well, now you live in New York, you come love the devotees and love the kirtan and love the prasadam right here in New York. No, I didn't know he had a temple. I just came to New York and started working. Didn't have time. You have time. You can find time. But, so his quality of life is not, you know, so elevated. But his attraction for Krishna is there. And so many examples of that. People that once lived in a temple or once associated with devotees, and circumstances of life took them away to something. But that experience they don't lose. And the remembrance of Krishna is very strong spiritually. Once engaged in devotional service, one will continue the service in all circumstances, at least the remembrance of Krishna. Narada says the same thing to Yudhisthira Maharaj. Here this is Narada speaking to Vyasa. He says the same thing to Yudhisthira in principle. It's coming in contact, just like electricity. You have the experience of an electric shock, and you know you don't have to come in contact with the same electric shock to remember what that electric shock is. Makes a strong impression. So a spiritual impression is made by spiritual contact. And it stays. It stays on the platform of the soul. So even if there's a change of body, what to speak of change of circumstance during this lifetime, it stays. So Vyas, present, don't have any hesitation or reservation. So the instruction is twofold. Fix your mind. Absorb your mind again and again and again. And the personality of Godhead, Vyasa, you have the qualification to do that. And then compose such literature that just describes that. That's the message of the chapter. And now the others are embellishments. If you do less than that, it's cheating people. And if you do that, although they're not qualified to understand the science of God, because speaking the message of the personality of God, it will purify, and you know what the science of God is, include that, they'll come up. And even if they come up for a while and fall back again, there's no loss. Prabhupada paraphrases the Bhagavad Gita verse, Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya. Triyate Mahatobayat. Even a little advancement on this path saves one from the greatest type of fear, Mahatobaya. So. Any discussion?
I understand that when we get an instruction to do a service, there's also empowerment in the instruction. And I'm wondering, I've seen in my own life and in general in our society, I see that devotees have the enthusiasm for service, but often we end up committing or taking up services which are not necessarily approved by superiors, and then it just goes on. We create projects and projects and projects, and so many devotees are doing so many different things. So I was wondering, is there an empowerment there, and what should, like, how are those devotees going to progress in gradual manner?
Well, there's a general, there's broad scriptural instructions that one may be taking to heart. Like, you know, the chanting of the holy name should be heard in every town and village. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So someone may connect with that instruction. May not be, you know, with an immediate superior, but they're trying to connect with that instruction. And there's empowerment. Now, more empowerment is, you know, those who, that devotee connected with Krishna consciousness, they're staying in touch with and getting blessings from and encouragement from and so on. That's better. One example, I have a disciple that joined the army. A woman joined the army. And before the end of the year, she's going to be flown off to Iraq. And while in the training that she's been going through, she's, you know, distributing japa beads and getting people to read Bhagavad Gita, distribute Bhagavad Gitas, and distributing prasadam, and, you know, getting people really connected with Krishna consciousness. It's not like, you know, some instruction was given to go off and do that. You know, in all kinds of experiences, I can detail, they're just like, whew. But because she has very strong faith in the principle of presenting Krishna consciousness to others and being an example for others, it has its impact. People are changing. There's one example. You know, there's regular reports coming about what she's doing. And asking, you know, what about this? What about that? And where should I keep my deities? In the place where I live? And so on and so on and so on. So there's some short answer is there's some empowerment and there can be more empowerment. More closely one stays connected with guidance and instruction, the more empowerment. And less chance of, you know, going off the center of the road and into the ditch with good intention. One can end up in the ditch.
Maharaj, on a practical level also, I get to meet some younger devotees and they're interested in doing service. So is it a proper thing? I don't know, sometimes I get confused how to guide them further, like on a practical level in our society,
you have to.
Should we connect them to some temple president, or how do we, so that
it very much depends on the circumstance.
Person to person. Okay.
Very much depends on the circumstance. You have to rely upon the training that you receive to make that discrimination. The main thing. The main thing is that they're feeling safe and secure in their Krishna consciousness, and they're getting ongoing support. It can take many different shapes, forms. Anything else?
In our situation when we do services, there is always a feeling of doing that wish I could have done it better or...
That's good. That's good.
So there's partial satisfaction.
That's okay. No, that's that's a platform for enthusiasm and inspiration and improvement. If that wasn't there, then you have complacency and lethargy. That's not feeling that we could do it better is not, that's devotion, that's not dissatisfaction. Or that's humility, it's not low self-esteem. The platform is different. But the not feeling satisfaction refers to dismissing the spiritual platform altogether. You know, some people who are extremely competent, they're missing satisfaction on the soul level if there's no spiritual discipline, spiritual teaching, spiritual practice. They're just, you know, extremely materially competent. Generally such people are very proud, very intolerant. You know, that there's symptoms that there's, you know, the softness of heart is missing. Not satisfied. So for a devotee to feel like that, you know, that's impetus for going further in devotional service. Okay? It's a different kind of emotion than what's being spoken about here. It's say it the other way around. It's satisfying to the self. It's satisfying to the soul to feel, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do better for Krishna. It's an expression of love. That's very satisfying. Okay. This point about which?
Carrying the message by qualities and not by words.
Well, it's not one to the exclusion of the other, but it's both. Both are ways of instructing. Of the two, Achara is stronger. Because then you have an example. An example speaks. We have plenty of opportunities in life where it would not be so appropriate that we instruct somebody because we don't have the relationship to instruct somebody. But by example we can instruct. In the workplace, or for, you know, or in the study place. In my circumstance, as I'm moving about, traveling, and you know, society, I don't have, I can't, I know my place. It's not to go around instructing everybody that I bump into. Because that though, but I can instruct by example. I can be conscious that I'm instructing by example. I can give examples. One thing that comes to mind is it might have been the last time I was in, it was one of the, I was flying from one place to another place, and there was a change of planes in Chicago going to some place. And there was a person who might even have been going from Boston to some place and through Chicago. So we were on the same, I was on the same plane with a bunch of people that were going to the next place, but there was a big delay in, you know, all because of bad weather in Chicago, and it took forever to get there. We finally got there. We ran to get to the flight had just left. The whole airport was pandemonium. And so there was a person, I happened to get to the, you know, the counter where the plane had was to leave from. We were supposed to check in with that counter to get the next destination. They in short, they chased us through, sent us through like four different places, and the plane had left, and the plane had left, and it was just, you know, there was chaos. I was very calm, but there was a young fellow, you know, very skillful, because, you know, he was yelling at the top of his lungs, and he, you know, I'm a professional, this is what I do, yada yada yada, and you people, you don't even care, and screaming, what's your name, I'm going to report to your supervisor, I'm never flying this, and yelling and yelling and agitated like anything. And I was calm as a cucumber, and and he was commenting. No, I didn't have to say, my dear sir. I just said it by my actions. And then he started inquiring, you know, how do you get calm like this? And I've got this, you know, hypertension, and, you know, I've taken medication. It still doesn't work, and but those people, they can really get me mad. They can do it right. They don't even care. I said, I bet I get on the flight to where I want to go before you do. You know, what do you want? You want to get on the flight to where you want to go, right? I bet I accomplish it quicker than you do. So who wins? You know, if you're keeping score. And then in between, you've also lost. Because look at you, you're just ball of tension. Screaming at people. So by behavior one can, without saying anything, on philosophy, I didn't say all those things, I just behaved it. Then he wanted to know. So, but on the other hand, if you speak something but your behavior is bad, your behavior doesn't match that which you speak. What's that? It's a hypocrite. Then people reject both what you say and you. See, and then, you know, then the rationale goes, all these people that speak these things, rubbish. And they throw the message out too. So both should be there. Of the two, Prabhupada's message is Acharya's stronger. The Achara is stronger. Suppose we talk about, you know, being peaceful in trying circumstances. What's that? But if you show it, oh, that's what it is. And it's possible in real time. In life today, it's possible. Anything on this side? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.